Welcome to Mass Appeal, the Saturday morning live show on Catholic Radio, where you can get some free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. This is Colleen Kelly Mast, your hostess today and every Saturday morning. My background is in family life education. I have an honorary doctorate in humane letters, master's degree in health education, and teaching certificates in health science, physical education, and theology. And I've been a teacher. I've taught every grade so far. And I've taught CCD in several grades, religious education, a wonderful experience. And I now train adults and give inspirational talks like I did a couple weeks ago at the Northwest Indiana Women's Convention, gave my Four Heart Healthy Habits of Holiness. I'm also the author of Love and Life, and Sex Respect, and Love Ed. And each of those, the first two have three books to them, the last one has six books to it. So if you want to learn more about my work, my ministry, my speaking, and my new life coaching business, I recently became certified as a professional life coach, you can go to my website at sexrespect.com. It's all brand new. We just redid it just in the last couple weeks. So we don't know if we have all the glitches out, but go visit it. You get to see the brand new recent photo shoots and all the life coaching information, speaking information. So go ahead to sexrespect.com. And I'll tell you again in a couple weeks when we do have the glitches out. And look at the new website that's there to help you understand what I can offer you even outside of the showtime. But for now, I am here for you for the next 2 hours, just waiting for your calls. Matthew's sitting at the phones, waiting to hear from you. Melissa is at the dial. She's going to put the music on and off and tell me when to be quiet or just turn that break on, even if I'm talking. And you can call in because your calls drive the show and you decide what the topic is today. The number to get on today's show is toll-free. It is 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. So if you need help in some part of your life, maybe you're feeling stuck or lost or confused or burdened by grief or difficult relationships or heavy emotions that are just trapped inside of you or empty prayers or tough decisions, and maybe you're just tired of being, frustrated, angry, worried, or depressed about your family and friends or the state of the world, give me a call. This is Colleen Kelly Mast on Mast Appeal, and the number to get on today's show is 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. Or maybe you're struggling just to face the reality of a situation that you're in that you cannot change, or maybe you want to stop wasting energy on people who are not going to change, and you want to just adapt to that yourself in a positive way, not in an unhealthy way. Because life is not linear. It's made up of twists and turns and detours and setbacks and obstacles and trials. And we need to just persevere in Christ because we have that power to do so. So give us a call with your question or personal problem at 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. This morning's gospel reminds us of that power when the 72 disciples returned rejoicing, and this was in Luke chapter 10, and said to Jesus, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us because of your name." And Jesus said, "I have observed Satan fall like lightning from the sky. Behold, I've given you the power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and upon the full force of the enemy, and nothing will harm you." He said, "Nevertheless, do not rejoice because the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven." That's Luke chapter 10, verse 17 to 24. For those of you that are just driving out of morning mass, you just heard that as today's gospel. Another message of hope. So we have to somehow raise the bar for ourselves. We as Christians should be the leaders. We no longer live in a Christian culture. But we have God's power within us through his grace to change the world. And if you doubt it, go back and read the Acts of the Apostles. Or go back to the first readings of the last couple of weeks at the Daily Masses where we read the story of Job. We've just finished up the book of Job. Actually, we just finished it up this morning. Job, who kept the faith amid all sorts of strife. And there is going to be strife. The Catechism reminds us of the effects of original sin on the world by our parents' first sin. This is in the Catechism, chapter or article 407, about this battle We are in a spiritual battle. By our parents' first sin, the devil has acquired a certain domination over man, even though man remains free. And original sin entails captivity under the power of him who thenceforth had the power of death, that is, the devil. Ignorance of the fact that man has a wounded nature inclined to evil gives rise to serious errors in the areas of education, politics, social action, and morals. And boy, are we seeing that today. That's Article 407 in the Catechism under the Profession of Faith. So that is the sin of the world. And Article 409 said, this dramatic situation of the whole world, which is in the power of the evil one, makes man's life a battle. The whole of man's history has been the story of combat with the powers of evil, stretching, so our Lord tells us, from the very dawn of history until the last day. So finding himself in the midst of the battlefield, man has to struggle to do what is right. And it is at great cost to himself, and aided by God's grace, that he succeeds in achieving his own inner integrity. So we need to have that strength and that encouragement, if you need it today, to call in. Encouragement to do the right thing, to do good, to be good, to spread goodness in a world that seems to be declining quickly. You know, this is the state of our world. We're now experiencing the degradation and destruction of Western civilization. Pope John Paul II, St. Pope John Paul II called it the culture of death. We're experiencing it. We see it on a large scale. We thought it was bad 5 and 10 years ago with abortion and so many other, and, you know, euthanasia coming upon us. But now we're seeing random killings on the streets. We see euthanasia in the hospital. We have millions of babies killed by abortion. Well, some politicians are proud of it, and the feminists cheer for more rights to kill their babies. That made me sick when some of those, especially in Ireland, when they were cheering that they got the right to kill their baby at any stage. Then on the family front, we see our teenagers trying to escape from the emptiness of life. They drown themselves in alcohol or drugs or vaping. They speak sarcastically and critically to everybody around them. They put down the dignity of anybody in their path, even their own parents. If you're struggling with a teenager or a young adult that's absolutely disrespectful, call me and I'll help you learn how to respond to that. Young people are tattooing themselves like the pagans did, and they cut themselves when they're already in pain. I had a friend whose daughter was doing that cutting to hurt herself. People need so much psychological help because they don't have faith, they don't have hope, they don't have love. The three theological virtues that are planted in us in baptism that we have to fertilize and water and grow. We see marriages breaking up because they become almost incapable of love, which is what we were made for, you know. Men and women are rejecting God's plan for marriage. Some couples treat their life-giving powers with such disdain. They'd rather mutilate themselves rather than abstain from the marital embrace 1 week a month. And that's not even the worst of what's going on in the culture. We see youth and young adults so confused by their masculinity or femininity that they reject their own biological reality. And then we've got the schools and public institutions that have bought into this confusion. They're spending money forcing it on everyone else. People are confused about what the meaning of marriage is, what marriage is for. Then we've got violence and sex are so closely mixed in today's popular music and music videos that young adults are brainwashed into thinking that fornication and force are part of a normal life's relationship. So we see around us this hate, this disrespect that takes place in our own families, spreads out to squabbles in the community, in the country. We fight about political values in our country. We've justified looting and robbing, and destruction is okay for certain people. And the whole world seems to be at war in one way or another. Christian values are no longer dominant. St. Paul told us this a couple thousand years ago. He said in his letter to the Galatians, when self-indulgence is at work, the results are obvious. Fornication, gross indecency and sexual irresponsibility, idolatry and sorcery, feuds and wrangling, jealousy, bad temper and quarrels, disagreements, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and similar things. And yet God has an answer. He has already redeemed us. We are not under the devil's power. In contrast, He wrote to the Galatians in chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, patient endurance, kindness, generosity, faith, mildness, and chastity. So how do we build this culture of life, this culture of love? This week, when we, on I think it was Thursday's Gospel, in Luke 10, it talked about the harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. I'm sending you like sheep among the wolves. Eat what is set before you, cure the sick, and tell them the kingdom of God is at hand. And tomorrow's Gospel, there's the parable where the kingdom where the tenants of the vineyard beat the servants, and they even beat the owner's son. And when the owner returned, Jesus said, you know, he'll put these wretched men to a wretched death and lease the vineyard to new tenants who will give them the produce. So the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to people who will produce its fruit. So what are we doing to produce fruit? How are we producing fruit? What are we doing to be good and do good in our own families, in our communities, in our parishes, in the world? So hopefully we're doing our best to live out the virtues and live in the midst of this culture of death and transform it into the culture of life by the power of God. Very simple answers to this. The corporal and spiritual works of mercy. The corporal works of mercy people are pretty much familiar with. The spiritual works of mercy are kind of what we do on this show, actually. So corporal works of mercy, especially in the fall of the year when people are thinking about Thanksgiving and bounty and harvest, that they are always thinking of giving. So the corporal works of mercy, what can we do to do good in today's culture? We can feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, shelter the homeless, clothe the naked, visit the sick, visit the imprisoned, even those that are imprisoned by loneliness or sickness or old age, and of course bury the dead. And the spiritual works of mercy. Okay, these are going to be tough ones, so I know we're going to get some calls about these things. How do I do this? Give me a call with your question or personal problem. This is Colleen Kelly Mast on Mast Appeal, the Saturday morning live show on Catholic Radio, where you can get some free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. The number to get on today's show is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. And if you struggle with one of these spiritual works of mercy I'm just going to tell you about, I'd be happy to help you do that. We have to bring more good into today's world. Okay, the spiritual works of mercy. Are there seven of them? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I memorized them when I was a child, but have to read them now. Forgive offenses. That means pray for people who've hurt you and pray for the grace to forgive them. Let go of grudges. Be kind, even if your kindness isn't returned. Second one is comfort the afflicted. Walk with others through their pain, and I'm here for you today. Encourage those who seem discouraged. I'm here if you need some encouragement. Offer sympathy to those who are grieving. Give me a call, 877-5-PEP-TALK. The third spiritual work of mercy is bear wrongs patiently. Try not to be so critical. Overlook those small mistakes. Assume the best of others. If you're easily offended, give me a call. I'll help you through that too. The fourth spiritual work of mercy, instruct the ignorant. Learn about our faith. Share what you know with others. Teach by your example. The fifth spiritual work of mercy is counsel the doubtful. Be positive. Share with others your confidence in God. Encourage others to put their hope and trust in God. And as I said, we do a lot of that on this show. Okay, the sixth spiritual work of mercy, admonish sinners. Stand up for what you believe in. Treat others with respect. Explain kindly why you disagree or how you see the truth of how other people are behaving. And the seventh spiritual work of mercy is pray for the living and the dead. So even keep a list of people you promise to pray for, like visit the graves of loved ones. Pray for people who have helped you in your life. Pray for the people that are going to help you in your life. And actually, we have prayed for you already, our listeners and our callers today. Matthew and Melissa and I prayed for you before the show started. So you give us a call. Your calls drive the show. If you need some help doing those spiritual works of mercy or one of those struggles in daily life, that you're facing the realities of your situation that might not be pleasant. How do we work through those? Work through the feelings, work through the solutions. Give us a call. This is Colleen Kelly Mast on Mast Appeal. The number to get on today's show is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. Matthew will take your calls. He'll take down your name. Yes, your first name is fine. And where you're calling from. And he'll put your topic down and let me know you're on the line. So you give us a call. This is Colleen Kelly Mast on Mast Appeal at 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. And we'll be back with your calls right after this moment.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. By asking for spiritual communion, we are acknowledging that the Holy Mass is the perfect, best way to worship God. The priest intercedes perfectly for us with God the Father because he acts in persona Christi. This is the time to see that through the priest's representation of Christ's sacrifice on Calvary, we are never separated from our Lord. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
This is Father Frank Pavone of Priests for Life. Today, the Church observes the Feast of the Guardian Angels and reflects on the fact that from the very first moment of our existence, God assigns an angel to watch over us at every moment of our lives. Of course, this means that each unborn child has a guardian angel too. If God cares enough about each unborn child to create that child and then assign him or her an angel, then certainly he expects us also to exercise some care and vigilance to speak up for and protect the lives of those children. It also means that we can pray to the guardian angel of each unborn child we are trying to save, as well as to the angels of the mother and father of that child, that they will have the courage to choose life. This is Father Frank Pavone on Ave Maria Radio.
If you believe in the power of prayer, Ave Maria Radio invites you to look at their website to submit a prayer request at AveMariaRadio.net. Your prayer requests are shared with hundreds at the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, the Servants of God's Love, the Monastery of the Blessed Sacrament Cloistered Nuns, the Family of Faith Apostolate, and the staff of Ave Maria Radio. Just go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the Community tab to submit your prayer request today.
To Mast Appeal, the Saturday morning live show on Catholic Radio, where we try to turn around those unpleasant circumstances and situations in our life and grow in virtue and grow in love in any way that we can. Or sometimes we just have to distance ourselves from the situation. Give us a call with your question or personal problem as you're trying to live out your faith in today's very confused world. The number to get on today's show with whatever your topic might be is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. Say hi to Matthew. Give him your name, where you're calling from, and the topic of your question. He'll put you on the line. I'm hundreds of miles away from him, but computers are wonderful. He'll just send me your name on the screen. So let's go. Casey from Cincinnati, Ohio is ready. Let's go, Casey. How can I help you today? You're listening on Sacred Heart Radio, a wonderful place there in Ohio. Go ahead with your question.
Yes. Okay, so we have a 20-year-old son who's in college, and he's been dating his girlfriend for a couple of years, and she's recently gotten her own place with some friends. And there have been a couple of nights where he hasn't come home. And my husband and I kind of disagree on how we should approach it. My husband thinks if we talk to him about it, it's going to be that he's either too tired to drive home, or maybe he's had something to drink and he doesn't want to drive home. And I don't really know that that's a good reason.
Right.
And we also have three younger kids at home. Two of them are teenagers, so...
Mm-hmm.
I think that's kind of setting a bad example. So
you're right.
I would call.
Yes, you are right. He's setting a bad example. One of my favorite stories is of a man that I know who's now passed away. He had I think, 9 or 10 children. And here's what he said to his son, who is sleeping with his girlfriend. He said, "Do you love her?" And the guy says, his son says, "Yes." And he said, "Was she a whore before you met her, or were you the one that turned her into a whore?" Like, whoa, that was pretty strong. And he said, "If you are sleeping with her and you're not married, you are turning her into a whore. Is that what you want to do to a woman that you love? If you love her, what would you really do? How would you respect her? How should you treat her?" And it shocked this guy so much. Actually, it shocked me when I heard him say that. Like, you really said that to your son? You're turning her into a whore. Your husband and you need to use very strong language with one scandal. That's against the fifth commandment. It's causing a scandal in your family. For you to just ignore this and be quiet and pretend it's not happening is a sin of neglect, sin of omission for you and your husband. You need to address this, first of all. You need to address it clearly and strongly with your son that whether or not you are fornicating, this is a scandal to sleep with your girlfriend overnight. We know that millions of people all over the country are doing that, but we are not responsible for guiding their souls to heaven. But we are for yours. We brought you into the world. We baptized you into this world. We love you. We've given you every opportunity to live a good life. And you're making a really bad decision. We're going to ask you to change that. And then invite him to confession tonight. It's great that it's Saturday. And just say, I don't think you really want to turn your girlfriend into a whore or live in the state of mortal sin, do you? And present it as questions. And just say, then what can we do to help you stop this? None of these reasons that you might have justify mortal sin. Either it's scandal or it's scandal plus fornication. And if it is the fornication, the bonding element of the vasopressin and oxytocin can fool you into marrying the wrong person because it'll lead you to believe your relationship is deeper than it actually is. And you as a young man will be stunted by your capacity to love by letting your physical drives be met before you are fully emotionally mature, which will probably happen in your mid to late 20s. So unless you are married and you have the grace to perform the married act through God's love, then you are working against love rather than for it. So ask him what you can do to help him. Do you need to set your own curfew? We can't do that for you because you're 20 years old. Do we need to come pick you up at a certain time? Do you need to drink less? Have one glass of... Wait, he's 20 years old. He shouldn't be drinking at all. What do you mean? I was thinking he's 21. No, so you shouldn't be drinking, obviously. And it's better not to drink when you're with your girlfriend anyway because it lowers your inhibitions and you do things that are wrong that you know are wrong, but your inhibitions are lowered, so you do them anyway. So tell him that you would offer to pick him up. He should set himself a curfew to show his maturity. He has to prove his maturity to you. And be straight and clear and loving and firm and offer him every opportunity out of that sin. And then tell him that he needs to do some kind of reparation for the scandal he's already caused the family. And ask him, what good is he going to do to be a great example to the younger brothers and sisters? It's not going to be in this area because they're probably too young to really understand or know what's going on. But what are you going to do out of reparation when you come back from confession tonight to make up for the bad example that you've caused? What good things are you going to do? Are you going to do 3 more hours of chores? Are you going to play with the little kids? Are you going to take them on a hike? Are you going to lead us in the rosary every night? Are you going to read the scripture to us every Sunday morning before we go to Mass? Like, ask him to repair some of the damage by helping the family grow in grace from the scandal that he caused. So I know that's a lot to ask, Casey, but to address it clearly, like my friend did with his son, whether you and your husband want to use that language or not, and offer solutions out of the practical situation. Invite him to confession and offer him the opportunity to make reparation. And you've got to address this and turn this around so that your son will make a good decision. He'll know what love really is. He'll know if he really loves this girl or not, if he can have a good relationship with her without sinning. then that's a better chance to decide with a clear mind if she's the person for him, rather than just falling into something due to the sinful and the hormonal and emotional and chemical attachment. If you need more information about that attachment thing, you can get a copy of my book, Sex Respect, at my website, sexrespect.com. Get the student workbook and even the teacher manual if you'd like. That'll help him, give him some ideas of the psychological consequences and why we don't live together and things like that. So thanks for the call, Casey. I'm going to pray for you and your husband and for the conversion of your son, conversion of his heart. God bless you. We'll be back with more of Mass Appeal at 877-5-PEP-TALK.
This is Life News Radio. I'm Jim Anderson. Some Massachusetts legislators say they want to be the next state to radically embrace abortion. Their plan to legalize abortion through all 9 months and allow young teens to be victimized by predators, peers, and others in coerced abortion. The bill has been stalled since early 2019 as it eliminates all regulations and restrictions for abortionists. Archbishop Sean Cardinal O'Malley pans the legislation as a threat to the unborn. October is Down Syndrome Awareness Month. Despite medical advances in Down Syndrome therapies, some embrace elimination of Down Syndrome by abortion. Thursday, President Trump denounced those radical proposals and noted new federal research to help develop more therapies. 250,000 Americans have an extra chromosome and are among the happiest people at a time when the world most needs them. This is Life News Radio. The talk about elections has always missed the point of elections. Our choices change who we are, even culturally. And these cultural changes have broad powers to limit and direct government. The things said about elections may have some truth, yet a deeper reality is that our involvement in these things, like elections, can change the culture. Get registered. Pray. Get involved and pray some more. Prepare to make a culture of life now and all the way beyond November. In other headlines, the American Medical Association is opposing President Trump's efforts to defund abortion giant Planned Parenthood. And the U.S. Senate will begin confirmation hearings for Judge Amy Coney Barrett Monday, October 12th. If confirmed, Judge Barrett would become the first sitting justice on the High Court to, at the same time, be a mother to school children. For pro-life headlines delivered to your email address daily, sign up at lifenews.com. This has been Life News Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Mass Appeal, the Saturday morning live show on Catholic Radio, where you can get some free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. I don't know if that last one sounded very friendly, but it's strong. We have to stop the sins, admonish the sinner, instruct the ignorant, counsel the doubtful, the spiritual works of mercy. Give us a call with your question or personal problem. With what might you be struggling today? A personal relationship in your life, a stance you have to take? Give us a call. This is Colleen Kelly Mast on Mast Appeal. The number to get on today's show is 877-573-7825-877-5-PEP-TALK. Mary Beth from Franklin, Wisconsin is ready next. Welcome to the show, Mary Beth. How can I help you today?
Well, thank you very much for taking my call. I don't say it as eloquently as you do, but when you gave the spiritual work and you mentioned on one of them, please call in if you're struggling with this about, you know, I feel like I am always putting myself out for others. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I never receive the reciprocation. So if you keep giving and keep giving, you all of a sudden mm-hmm. say, okay, so I've given and given. Where is my return on so-called investment? I never feel like I'm getting anything back. Mm-hmm. And you start to feel resentful. So I'm mm-hmm. going back to your point. My second part of the question is, with our Catholic faith, every time in church we pray for justice, mm-hmm. okay? And you, one of the spiritual works is forgiveness. To mm-hmm. me, those don't coincide. They are direct opposites. And I'll give you two examples, and then I'll let you answer.
Okay.
One of the examples, of course, is with our own Catholic Church and our issues with the priests and the lawsuits that are going on.
Mm-hmm.
So people that are Catholic are bringing up lawsuits. They're probably not forgiving because they wouldn't go ahead with a lawsuit against these things. And I know in my own personal life, I had a work experience that has been very traumatic for me. It was a bad situation, and I, to this day, I struggle with it, and I want to let go. I want to have peace mm-hmm. with it. I want to move on. I want God to help me clarify what I need to do, how to move beyond that. So I will let you go, and thank you very much for taking my call.
Wow, that's a lot, Mary Beth. Okay. To give and give and give and get resentful and to pray for justice, and is forgiveness the opposite of justice? Wow. Okay, I'll tackle that before the next commercial. And all right. Actually, the late Cardinal George mentioned this at a rally that he had with people from different apostolic movements. And he said that people who give and give to the church without that deep, close relationship with God do become bitter and resentful. So when we are becoming resentful or bitter, we have to look at two directions. One, are we enabling or not setting boundaries enough in our just in our daily life in terms of how much we're giving? Are we exhausting ourselves and not caring for ourselves, you know, spiritually, emotionally, or physically? Or are we not doing this for the pure motives of love of God? And how is our relationship with God? So we look at our motives, we look at our relationship with God, we look at the boundaries that we set. So people that give and give, and there are a lot of us out there, myself included, I'm one of those givers. There's one of my spiritual directors that said there's givers and takers in this life, and the givers sometimes exceed their boundaries and exhaust themselves, and so they need to know what God really wants them to do and is asking them to do. I was reading, I think it was in The Imitation of Christ just a couple weeks ago, where it said that sometimes we do more things than even God wants us to do, and we supersede the graces that he offers us just to do the initial things that he asks us to do. So examine your life in light of God's call for your life, and your time, your talents, your treasure. Are you doing more than God really wants you to do and not setting boundaries? And then look at your relationship with God. Are you filling up first and giving away God, or you're just giving out of your own stores of love? Because we as human beings run out of love. We just don't have enough, whether it's in marriage or parenting or in the workplace or in the parish. We are limited, but God's love is limitless. And so it is our responsibility and our duty and our obligation to fill ourselves up with God's love on a regular basis. And the more we give, the more we need to be filled up first. So are we going to daily Mass? Are we going to confession at least once a month? Are we going to adoration each week? How are we doing a daily prayer, a meditation each morning, an examination of conscience maybe at noon and in the evening? How are we filling up with God's love? Are we meditating on the mysteries of the rosary or the mysteries of Christ's life or on the gospel passages where we can just sit with God like we could do at adoration and just let him love us? Ask him to fill you up. So we examine those things. We look at our own boundaries. We look at how well we're filling up. We look at our discernment of God's will. And those, as we step back in some of those areas and take a look at it and pray to the Holy Spirit that we see that in God's eyes, we will not get resentful, and we can even ask him to heal any resentment we might have. Maybe we need to step back on what we're doing. Maybe we need to pray more. Maybe we need to set some boundaries. Maybe we need to purify our motives, that the reason we do what we do, it might even be in our own attitudes or feelings, that we do what we do out of love for God, not to get anything back, whether it's loving our spouse or our children, doing the best job that we can, whether it's a student at school, that we do our best because of God. I see myself sometimes as that little girl who learned about your heavenly report card when we had to stand before God at the end of our life, and he looks at our heart and sees what we did, how much we loved. And I still think of that vision I had when I was a little kid and think of when I stand before God, will my heart be full of his love, that I've done everything he's asked me to do out of love and not exceeded what he wanted me to do, but certainly done everything he asked me to do for the right reasons. So examine that part and see if that can help you look at healing, asking God to heal that resentment, and only do those things that you can do with pure motives, out of love for God. It might be something hard. It might be something difficult. Mother Teresa, Saint Mother Teresa of Calcutta, was very spiritually dry throughout her later years and still kept helping the sick and the dying. And she would continue on without any wild, happy feelings of loving God, but just that knowledge of faith that she was loving and serving God. Okay, and your second part of your question, if I can get this before the break, about pray for justice. Is justice different than forgiveness? Actually, forgiveness can include civil justice, but forgiveness is not forgetting. Forgiveness is letting God do the justice. Forgiveness is allowing God to take justice rather than us taking justice in our own hands. And to forgive actually helps and heals us. So that process of forgiving is both intellectual and spiritual and emotional, to give this over to God and let him take care of the justice, not us. Because forgiveness is not the opposite of justice, but they can balance each other. Thanks for the call. God bless you.
Hi, this is Vanessa Denha-Garmo. Please tune in for my program, Epiphany. We're made to praise God and to celebrate our faith. I want to encourage listeners to connect, collaborate, and communicate with the faith community. Life is a journey, and along the way, we have those epiphany moments that bring us closer to Christ. Please partner with me and celebrate the diversity of our Catholic Church.
Epiphany, weekdays at noon on Ave Maria Radio.
Fire on the Earth, Peter Herbeck.
And we do have discouraging times. You know, times that really can, if we're not careful, can lead us into discouragement and to the point where the enemy wants to get us to is to live without hope, is to just give up, throw up our arms and say, no, God's not here. This is not never going to go anywhere. Nothing's ever going to change. And just give in. Give up and give in. That's what he wants you to do. He wants you to give up, give in, quit the fight, because then it's over. What we need to do is stand in the Lord. And if we just walk as Jesus is describing, to tap into the strength that he wants to give us. He said, look, I'm with you always to the end of the age. I will never leave you. I'll never abandon you. I'll never fail you. And I've called you and I've chosen you to bear fruit. And he knows exactly the circumstances of our lives. He knew, you know, when you were made, he knew, for God the Father knew, that you'd be living through these days. Just as he knew that my father would live through the days of my mother, the days of the Second World War. He knows you were going to be alive at this time. And if you're listening to this program and you're baptized into Christ and you're a follower of Jesus, he's made you to make a difference. He's made you to bear fruit even in these difficult times. He's made you to be a light. He's made you to be different.
Peter Herbeck spreads fire on the earth, weekday mornings at 6:30 and again at 11:45 on 990 Ave Maria Radio.
Appeal, a Saturday morning live show on Catholic Radio where you can get some free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. The number to get on today's show is 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. Call in with your question or personal problem. If you're struggling with your spouse, with your extended family, with your workplace decisions, now that a lot of people are back at work, or maybe some guilt that you're suffering and you don't know what to do with that. Maybe you're just stuck or angry or overly worried. concerned about family and friends, give me a call with your question or personal problem. The number to get on today's show is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. This is Colleen Kelly Mast. The show is called Mast Appeal, and if you were just switching around the dials, you're listening to Catholic Radio. If you want to learn more about my work, my life coaching, and the books that I've written, my speaking, go to my website, sexrespect.com. That's sexrespect.com. Our next caller today is Rick from Lafayette, Louisiana, listening on Sirius XM 130. That's where I listen to the show as well. So welcome to the show, Rick. How can I help you today?
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you very well. Good voice.
Oh, great. Thank you. It's early.
Yeah. Our voices are just getting working. I know I have to get up an hour earlier before the show to make sure I don't have just a bunch of things that clear out of my throat.
Thanks. I'm here with my wife and the love of my life, of course. And this is my first year without my biggest cheerleader, second to my wife. My mom passed. But now I'm left to, you know, fight the battles and keep myself, you know, keep myself on track. And I have to now do the damage control.
And, is this where you're talking about your extended family? Because your mom passed away. Was she the peacemaker before, and now it's falling to you? You're the next one in line. And how many siblings do you have, and what kind of family are we talking about where you're trying to keep the peace, Rick?
I have nine siblings. We're all still alive.
Wow,
and,
cool.
We're all scattered. We live in, you know, so many of us live in different states. And I have lots and lots of cousins, too, and people that I've known from living in different places. But there's such a need for me to go back and do, you mentioned, I think the term was, anyway, damage control, we'll just call it that. And I have the need to be a voice, and a healthy male voice, and it's hard to do that when, you know, you've got, you know, you have to do, I feel like you have to do penance.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to make sure the people who know you mean it. And it's just difficult in this day and age to cover so much territory with so many distractions. And I see people using social media to put out public apologies for bad behavior, and it doesn't seem to resonate with me. It seems to me it has to be much more personal than that. But, you know, how
you're right. That's their only attempt, and that maybe they don't have the courage to do it in person. So give me an example of one of the help you, Rick.
Well, I think a lot of it, for me anyway, has to deal with just returning phone calls. That seems to be family members reaching out to me wanting to engage, but because of maybe their politics or knowing, anticipating what I'm going to hear on the other end of the phone is something I just assume, go cut the grass or do something.
That I, you avoid it.
Do something productive instead of doing something that's long-term and enriching. And, too, I want to be a voice for God. I want to be able to speak against abortion, but I can't do that as a male who's taken advantage of opportunities so many times in my life. And, you know, who am I? There's all these things that push back.
You know who's saying that stuff? Wait a second, Rick. That's the evil one. That's the evil one giving you all those excuses. Listen to God. You know, each morning when you say your morning prayers and then pray again before you act or have an opportunity to act, pray for courage. Remember those seven gifts of the Holy Spirit we got at confirmation? Wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, and fear of the Lord. I remember those since I was, 12 years old? Think of that fortitude. Okay, today, all of us Christians, especially the males that want to be a healthy male voice, and we desperately need your healthy male voice in today's culture, we have to take that gift of fortitude and ask the Holy Spirit to help it grow in us rather than avoiding. Now, not returning your phone calls, sometimes avoiding it might be a good thing, that you don't want to get dragged into something that's unnecessary, and maybe cutting the grass is your responsibility. But to respond to those people, if you said, oh, that I'm not returning the calls, maybe you can find a way where you can be more assertive, more confident, and again, this comes with that fortitude, that gift of the Holy Spirit, to respond to those things in a way that someone would listen. And so the assertiveness of thinking about what you're going to say to that person as you return the call. Like maybe if a person has called a few times and they just want to argue about politics, you prepare yourself to call them back, outline it in your head, and have some logical responses. You know, for example, if they want to argue about voting or something like that, just say, oh my goodness, I didn't return your call. I've been busy and I've kind of put it off. I'm sorry I didn't call back, but I want to respond to, you know, what you said. And then if they start into like an argument, just say, hey, you know what, let's have this discussion at a different time. Do you want to get together for coffee, or do you just want me to give you a couple of my ideas? And if, for example, they're just saying, like, you know, how could you have a, you know, this be voting for this candidate or something like that, or they want to argue the politics, which is what a lot of families are doing right now. And you could just say, like, I'm voting for the right to praise God. I'm voting for the Second Amendment. I'm voting for capitalism and the American dream. I'm voting for law and order, you know, not a personality. So you know what I mean? Whatever their argument might be, or maybe it's a moral argument, and they might be saying, like, why aren't you talking to, you know, your nephew George just because he, you know, lives in this particular lifestyle that is, you know, is sinful, and just respond and say, hey, you know, you said you wanted to talk about George. Let's get together and have a conversation about it. And then when you get together with them or on your phone call, have it organized in such a way that say, you know what, I'm your family. I love you. I want to have a nice time. So let's leave this disagreement to our first 10 minutes. I'll listen to your side, you listen to my side, and let's see if we can understand how each other is thinking. And then let's just have a nice time. Let's go for a hike or you know, talk about planning our family Thanksgiving or you know, go fishing or, you know, that leave the disagreement to a set time, just like we leave our pity parties to a set time, to say, let's hear each other out. If you listen to me, I'll listen to you. And let's get this over within 10 minutes and build our family love. And that way you don't have to dread every phone call. You don't have to avoid returning them or make excuses not to. But take that courage and that assertiveness to prepare your discussion ahead of time. Let it last. Let the disagreement last only a certain amount of time till it gets to the point where that person will accept you because they love you for what you're saying, even if they don't like what you're saying. They'll accept you for what you're saying. And you will listen to them carefully, even if you have to repeat it back to them. So you're saying you believe that abortion is good. You believe that killing little babies out of convenience is a good thing. Well, no, I'm not saying that. Well, tell me what you do believe then, because that's how I was hearing it. So you know what I mean? Like, engage him in conversation, but end it within 10 minutes and then go on to, let's talk about some of the things we agree with. We agree that, you know, we should have a wonderful family prayer at Thanksgiving dinner. We agree that we need to raise our kids with courage today. You know, we agree that we should all vote. You know what I mean, Rick?
That's good stuff. You've mentioned some things that will get me thinking here this next week or two, and I can just do some weed eating instead.
Okay. Do that while you're doing the grass. Do that thinking, and let the Holy Spirit give you the courage and the words to solve these so each relationship in your large family doesn't become disagreement but becomes a force for love and understanding. Okay?
Great. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. God bless you. This is Colleen Kelly Mast on Mast Appeal. We're up against break. We'll be back with more questions and your calls at 877-5-PEP-TALK right after this message.
Is there any quicker way to peace than gorgeous music? Hi, this is Peggy Stanton. Join me on A Place of Peace to hear my guest, Anna Maria Cardinale, play classical guitar and lift your heart with her remarkable contralto voice. That's this Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. on Ave Maria Radio and AveMariaRadio.net.
I'm Dr. Stan Williams, and this is The Logic of Catholicism. Solanus Casey said, appreciation is as necessary for social order and harmony as are the laws of gravity for the physical world. There are a lot of things we can't not know. Take gravity, for instance. When you put your foot down, it stays there, unless your spouse pulls out the rug you're standing on. Gravity is not just a good idea, of course. It's the law, a natural law. And you can't change natural laws. They are what keeps the universe in order. For instance, gravity reminds you not to step off a cliff without suffering painful and life-threatening consequences. Ah, law and order. Something to appreciate. Today, tell someone you appreciate God's laws and His order that keeps you grounded. And that's the logic of Catholicism. Explore more at AveMariaRadio.net. Under resources, look for me, Dr. Stan Williams.
High school juniors and seniors, college seniors and graduates, you're invited to the Ave Maria Fall Fest, Saturday, October 10th at 4 p.m. at the Outdoor Pavilion of the Monahan Residence in Ann Arbor. Learn about the Ave Maria University Michigan Scholarships of $7,000 per year for over 4 years and the Ave Maria School of Law Michigan Toledo Full Tuition Scholarship. Meet alumni, admission representatives, and enjoy dinner and fellowship. This event is free with registration at AveMariaFoundation.org.
The Saturday morning live show on Catholic Radio, where you can get some free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. This is Colleen Kelly Mast, your hostess today and every week. You can learn more about my work at my website, my newly designed website at sexrespect.com. So go there and look at all the new design, find your way around, and find any glitches. You can email me with any glitches that you found, but you can also email me with your questions, if you can't call in, and I know I get a lot of those each week as well, at mastappeal@avemariaradio.net, mastappeal@avemariaradio.net, or if you go to my website, sexrespect.com, there's a place to contact me, and I'll get that directly. So, are you able to bear wrongs patiently? But that doesn't mean be a doormat. You know, the spiritual works of mercy, we talked about forgiving offenses, comforting the afflicted, bearing wrongs patiently, and, you know, try not to be critical. We have to live out those things, but not be a doormat. Okay, Michael? Uh-oh, did we just lose Michael? Uh-oh, okay. Let me see, read his question while he's calling back. Okay, question about the first spiritual work of mercy. What do we do about church persecution, campaigns against Catholics, and animosity toward Catholics? Good question. Michael, call back. Sorry that we just dropped you off the line. Michael's from Atlanta, listening on The Quest in Atlanta, Georgia. Okay, what do we do about that first spiritual work of mercy, church persecution, campaigns against Catholic, and animosity towards Catholic, which, you know, used to be more prevalent in the South than it is now. He's from Atlanta, but I know there's a huge growing Catholic diocese there in Atlanta. So the first spiritual work of mercy, forgive offenses, asks us to pray for those who hurt us. So that's the first thing that we do in forgiving offenses. So about church persecution, we need to first be praying for the people that are persecuting us. Campaigns against Catholic, we need to pray for the grace to forgive ahead of time and be kind to them, but again, not to be doormats. What we need to do is stand up courageously for our faith in whatever way that we can. And I'm not sure, because you didn't call back, Michael, what you mean by church persecution. If you're looking at little things like why the churches are closed and the airlines can have you sit 2 feet from the next person, that's a good question. Or if it's a serious persecution throughout the world where people are being killed for their Christian faith. The campaigns against Catholics and animosity towards Catholics, one, we have to live our faith with great strength, We have to pray, and each of us that know and love and serve God need to be so close to God during this time that our prayer life should, I wouldn't just say increased, I would say we need to double it. If you're spending 10 minutes on a morning meditation, get up 10 minutes more and do 20 minutes. If you're going to adoration once a month, go twice a month. If you're going to confession once a month, go twice a month. If you're getting to Mass once a week, go twice a week. Even if the second one has to be online, there's still people that are broadcasting their Masses online. I was able to go to one yesterday or attend one yesterday with great devotion and fervor as well as we can. So when we face these things specifically, if you're talking about in the workplace, animosity toward Catholics, the best antidote, as the saints have shown us, is to live what we believe. Be absolutely kind, be absolutely loving, but don't be a doormat and stick up for our faith. If they insult our faith, we come back with a very kind, loving response. Like, you know, well, why did you have so many kids? Well, I love children and I love my husband. Something like that. Or, you know, a response about Catholicism. You might just say, maybe you just don't understand Catholicism. If you'd like to, I'll send you some emails or some links to some of the Catholic Answers responses to your questions. So to respond kindly, purely, and truly, and stay close to God will help us get through these persecutions and help us forgive, because you know it's out of ignorance that people wouldn't understand or appreciate the faith, or maybe out of their own hurt. So the first spiritual work of mercy, forgive offenses, is even possible to people who are persecuting us in several ways. So I hope that helps you, Michael. Thanks for the call. This is Colleen Kelly Mast on Mast Appeal. We have our second hour coming up, and your calls drive the show. There are lines open waiting to hear from you. So give us a call with your question or personal problem at 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK, and we'll be back with your calls in just a moment.
Radio for Catholic and other Christians. This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
Second hour of Mast Appeal, the Saturday morning live show on Catholic Radio, where you can get some free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. I know last hour I stayed as friendly as I could, even with those that needed to be admonished. This is Colleen Kelly Mast, your hostess today and every week. If you want to learn more about my work, go to my website at sexrespect.com. Also on my Facebook fan page, Colleen Kelly Mast with one L. I have some different things we've chatted about, and I have to update it. I know I'll try to do that today with some of our guests from the show a couple weeks ago. So if you're on Facebook, which less and less people are anymore, and you want to go to Colleen Kelly Mast, my fan page, not my personal page, but just my Colleen Mast, but Colleen Kelly Mast with one L and Colleen, you can read about some of the novenas and guests and books we've recommended here, and I'm going to fill that up this afternoon with some of the things we've done this last month, because I have been neglectful of that because I've been working on updating my new website at sexrespect.com, getting new pictures and new script and adding the life coaching business and rearranging some of the things to make it easier to understand from all the questions you ask, like which book do I need for my 12-year-old or what book for my niece who is getting married. And so everything should be much clearer now on the new site at sexrespect.com. But for now, we're here for another hour, and your calls drive the show. You decide what the topics are this hour. Last hour, I started off with some of the corporal and spiritual works of mercy and how we are called to make a difference. But whatever might be your struggle, that's what this hour is about. Give us a call at 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. I told you last hour that Matthew was at the phones. He and Melissa are playing musical chairs, I think, and now he's at the dials and she's at the phone. So say hi to Melissa. Tell her your name, where you're calling from, and the topic of your problem. They'll put them on my board, send it over here thanks to the internet, and I'll know when you're next on the line. 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALKS. If you're struggling to find happiness in your everyday routine, or maybe you're waiting for the next event or change rather than seeing God's will in today, or maybe you're confused or hurt, or maybe you just need a mindset adjustment for your own complaints or negativity, or the way you're approaching something just isn't serving you well, or maybe you're just facing a bad situation you cannot change, and you're trying to figure out, where is God in this situation? Or how do you mend a broken or distant relationship that you'd like to mend? Or maybe if you're wondering, should you speak up to this person or be quiet and let it go, like our first caller last hour, Casey, whose son was apparently sleeping with his girlfriend. Should you speak up or shut up? If you need the courage to do so. Rick called in and got some courage, too. So you give us a call. Or maybe you're just making a decision about school or work or hybrid school or moving, or you just aren't taking care of yourself. So if you need to make relationships a priority or see your job as part of your work for God, whatever you're struggling with, give me a call. I'm here for you the next hour. 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. Now, what would St. Francis do? I was thinking of the world being in such turmoil, and the St. Francis prayer that I memorized, thanks be to God that I was in the high school choir and we sang it. So that helps me remember the song, that I have it to a tune. So I thought, let's start this hour with that prayer. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. I'm not going to sing it for you. I only sing during my Four Heart Healthy Habits of Holiness talk, or my Raising Kids with Character talk, or my Teenage Chastity talks, but not going to sing this yet for you. We'll just pray it. Prayer of St. Francis. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. That's S-O-W, love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. That prayer, if we prayed it every morning, if we need to pray some more, that could guide our day. Just think of that, whether it was in your marriage or relationships at work, relationship in your parish or neighborhood, your extended family. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace, where there's hatred, injury, doubt, despair, darkness, sadness. What can I bring to that? And think of what you can do to make the world a better place right now as it is. Well, we'll support you here. Keep listening to Catholic Radio. Later on EWTN, we have at 1 o'clock Eastern Time, The Good Fight with Barbara McGuigan. She's having Father David Guffey, the producer of that new movie, Pray, the story of Patrick Peyton. And they're going to talk about the 20th century apostolate of the family rosary. And Professor Paul Kinger shares his book, The Devil and Karl Marx, Communism's Long March of Death, Deception, and Infiltration. So those of you that are concerned about that, you might listen 1 o'clock this afternoon on The Good Fight on EWTN this afternoon with Barb McGuigan. And there's a new show premiering today, 7 o'clock Eastern Time. That's 6 o'clock Central and before dinner for those of you out west. The Miracle Hunter with Michael O'Neill. That sounds good. The Miracle Hunter with Michael O'Neill. The Miracle Hunter, Michael O'Neill, speaks with the Purgatory Lady, Susan Tassoni, about her book, Jesus Speaks to Faustina and You, and delves into the fascinating world of miracles. So that is on EWTN Radio at 6 o'clock Central, 7 o'clock Eastern Time. New show premiering today. I might listen to that. The Miracle Hunter. That sounds good. I remember that show about angels that was on decades ago. Well, anyway, here we are in our second hour. Give us a call with your question or personal problem. The number to get on today's show is 877 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. Our next caller is Chuck from Stonesville, Ohio. Welcome to the show, Chuck. How can I help you today? Chuck, you're on the air now. Go ahead with your question. Listening to The Rock. Oh, there's an 8-second delay, so listen live and turn off the radio in the background. Okay, Chuck?
All right. Yes, I just had a question regarding my wife and I's health.
Okay.
We're both in our 60s, and I'm very health conscious and have lots of physical hobbies that I enjoy. And she used to be fairly active, too, when she was younger. Mm-hmm. But in recent years, she's probably, you know, over 100 pounds overweight, probably, you know, plus 250 pounds plus. And I've always tried to get encouragement and do different things together, bicycle.
Mm-hmm.
Many years ago, that's how we met.
Oh, boy. Oh, your phone's going in and out. I don't know if you're in a basement or inside some concrete walls. So you want to know how to encourage your wife, Chuck? And you used to be active together? Are you still there, Chuck? Okay, sounds like we lost Chuck. Anyway, we got an idea. So he's health conscious. His wife is much overweight. This is not an unusual problem. Usually in every couple, there's at least one that's health conscious and the one that isn't. The first thing we have to remember as a married partner is we cannot change someone else. And the more we try to change them, the more they're going to feel unaccepted, not loved. So the first step, Chuck, to this is to love your wife. Find every way that you can love her. Love her spiritually by, you know, caring for her soul and praying with her. Love her emotionally with your feelings and your concerns and express your feelings about her, of all the things that you appreciate about her. Physical love, of course, which is part of marriage. Affection. Some wives are just hungry for just affection, just an arm around her, a hug when you pass each other in the room. And embrace her as she is. I mean, there's more to hug if she's 100 pounds overweight. And so enjoy those big warm hugs and let her hug you. Maybe increase your physical affection in that way so she feels accepted and loved. Then we do want to help them with their health. Just one thing that I would say to a spouse who wants to help an overweight spouse would be to ask them how they're feeling about their weight. So let her take the lead on this. Ask her, you know, are you comfortable in this weight? Are you uncomfortable? Are you concerned about health problems? Let her speak rather than you imposing your concerns on her. See what she's thinking. But if she's already sensitive and self-conscious about it, she's not going to do that until you've spent a couple weeks in stage one, which is loving, loving, loving her. So then, when she's feeling loved and accepted and understood, the second part would be finding out how she's feeling about it. And if she says, I don't know what to do, I feel like I'm lost, or she says, you know what, I just learned to accept myself the way that I am. If she wants to accept herself how she is, stop saying things about it. And just say, is it okay when I invite you to go bike riding? Is it okay when I invite you to walking? That doesn't hurt your feelings or anything, does it? Make sure you're not offending her in any way. But if, Chuck, she's saying she is concerned about her health, or maybe she's getting, you know, high cholesterol or high blood pressure, and she's concerned about the side effects of the medicine, just say, you know what, let's find a good way that can help you. And just say, is there anything I can do to help you? And there might be. You know, maybe you could act as 1 month chef of the, you know, the best healthy foods and take out all, you know, junk foods and promise yourself to just eat all healthy foods. Or highly possible, and I wanted to mention this first, but it doesn't come first before the loving part. A lot of people are overweight because of body chemistry. there is a certain chemistry we get from all the, you know, pesticides and fertilizers and preservatives and things that we've been eating over the last years, and the things they're putting in our food that's naturally, even if we aren't eating a lot of junk food, there's junk in our food. There's less nutrition in our food. So people could be a little bit off, you know, in their brain, in their cravings, in their hormones, in their appetites. They could be eating emotionally. So there are a lot of reasons why people are overweight, but a lot of it is could be an endocrine system problem. So see if she is open to going to a doctor for, like, blood tests and hormone tests, even alternative doctors. They'll do that saliva test on your hormone. There's a lot of complementary doctors that specialize in weight loss, and they can help you set a pattern that's different than eat less and exercise, because that works for some people, but, and I know a lot of medical doctors will tell you that, but it doesn't work for everybody. There are some people that have a chemical imbalance that can exercise their heads off and eat all the right foods and not switch more than 3 or 4 pounds each direction, because there are other complications to that that are most likely in their endocrine system, sometimes in their brain. And so to see an alternative doctor or a place that's very successful, not just motivation, but also in changing a person's body chemistry through both clean eating and maybe some homeopathic remedies or maybe some different vitamins or minerals that help heal the underlying problem, because that's what she wants to do, heal the underlying problem. I know of a few that do that, a few methods that do that. If you need more information on that, I don't want to, I can't think of them right now on the phone, but you can email me at mastappeal@avemariaradio.net. But so that the first one is loving, two is understand how she's feeling and, you know, accepting whatever she wants to do. If she wants to take a direction, ask her to check on her health and have a health checkup herself to see if there's an underlying cause that's causing it. Otherwise, she's going to feel bad about herself. She's going to think, oh, I don't have self-control. She's white-knuckling it the whole time. Or maybe I'm just too tired to exercise because I'm sick. And then when you find out the underlying cause, ask her what you can do. Just say, honey, do you want me to be like a coach? Do you want me to be like a partner? I'll do what you're doing. Let's do it together. And I want to support you in any way you can, and I won't condemn you when you fall. Let's give ourselves one day off a week, and let's do this together. If she's interested or willing at this time to take those steps toward better health. So I hope those help you. First, loving her, understanding how she's feeling and if she wants to make a change, and then looking at the underlying health causes, and then be her coach or her friend in all this, and give her the support that she needs, but never stop loving her. And pray for her as well. Pray to the Holy Spirit that you'll find the underlying cause and the motivation to do the right things. So God bless you. This is Colleen Kelly Mast on Mast Appeal. Give us a call. Your calls drive the show. You know what the topics are this hour. 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK is the number to call. We'll be back with your calls in just a moment.
From the archives, this is the wisdom of Mother Angelica.
We need to pray for the gift of knowledge, not just knowledge of our fall, but knowledge of God. Do you know God? Or is he just somebody that you go to when you're in trouble? And this gift of knowledge is a certain amount of detachment. We're attached to everything, little things, silly things. Chairs. Don't sit in my chair. Why? Because it just fits me. It doesn't fit you. You're too fat. Well, if you ever said that to somebody, you're attached to what? A chair. You can be attached to God, and you can love everybody. You can love your children and love your parents and love even your enemies. But attachments take the soul out of your heart.
For more about Mother Angelica, visit EWTNRC.com.
Speaking about the success the state of New York was having with fighting the coronavirus, Governor Andrew Cuomo insisted that God didn't make things better. Man's hard work did, he said. Bishop Robert Barron addressed this issue in a very powerful YouTube video on the nature of God, reminding us what is written in the book of Isaiah. Lord, it is you who has done everything we have accomplished. Now, of course, Bishop Barron elaborated on that. We're grateful to God for what we're able to accomplish. I have spent years in the communications industry as a reporter, press secretary for the Wayne County Executive, the biggest county in Michigan, and as a communications strategist with my own company. I've covered politics and worked for politicians. I've come to firmly believe that if you're not grounded in public service and in God before you go into politics, you will become consumed by the power and actually start to believe you are God. This has been a Christ-Center communication message. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo, a communications evangelist. Good morning and welcome to Mass Appeal, the Saturday morning live show on Catholic Radio, where you can get some free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. The number to get on today's show is 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. Whether you're struggling with a family problem or a personal problem or just wanting to do something simple that's hard for other people, called decluttering, or face the realities of the trials in your life. Everybody in life is either in the middle of a trial or just came out of one or is heading toward the next one, because these storms are going to come and go. As we read about at the beginning of the show, the devil is out there. And often I'll refer to the book The Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis, one of my favorite Christian classics. It was written back in 1942 It's about apologetics and inspiration, but it was about a series of letters from a new devil, an inexperienced tempter named Screwtape, that's where they get the title, to an apprentice tempter named Wormwood. And in the letters, Screwtape continues to advise Wormwood how to pull certain human patient, they call him, away from God, who they call the enemy in the book, toward the depths of hell. And so, as you read Screwtape letters, you begin to see the tactics of the evil one. He'll say something such as, oh no, he's fallen in love. Oh, love is good. The enemy would like that, meaning the enemy is God. Let's tempt him with lust. Yes, let's try lust. And so they'll say things like that. So the experienced tempter, Wormwood, is writing these letters back to Screwtape, this new guardian devil, I like to call him. And he gives him different tips on how to tempt this new Christian person. So if you read Screwtape letters, and that's why I recommend it often, you'll see what some of the tactics are. So we don't think it's always us or our problem. We see that some of the problems are ours, they're within us. Some of the problems are totally outside of us. It's the world and the flesh and the devil. But some of these are ways that the devil is tempting us in a way. And some of the highlights, I was reading an article this week, some of the highlights that were highlighted most often by readers on Kindle that read the Screwtape letters are interesting and can teach us something. And that one of them in the Screwtape letters that's highlighted the most is that that people are brainwashed into thinking that there is a safe road to hell. So the quote from Screwtape letter says, "Indeed, the safest road to hell is the gradual one, the gentle slope, soft underfoot, without sudden turnings, without milestones, without signposts." And how often do we know someone who has left the church in that slow way, or fallen into sin and still going to church under that gentle slope? So it's often said that either we're moving toward God or away from God. But if we have too great of a sense of moving away from Him, we might stop moving from Him and might move toward Him. So God wants us to understand this true state of our souls, the way that He sees us. But Satan wants us in the dark, like moving away, not realizing it, falling deeper while not realizing that we are falling at all. Then after we've fallen really far, we might look up and say, oh, we're too far from God. How do I come back? You know, how could God ever pull me back? Well, if you're in that situation, make sure that you use what's available today, the gift of the sacrament of reconciliation.
And so if you're one of those people right now listening to those words of the devil, like, oh, you're too far away. How could I ever come back? How could I dare walk in a church? Believe me that there is a priest in the confessional this afternoon, probably waiting and praying for you to come back. So if you haven't come back, if you've been away too long, or you feel that you're far away, go ahead and get to confession. And if we want to understand our true selves, frequent confession is an indispensable tool because it makes us, actually requires us to assess ourselves, take a look at ourselves soberly, unsentimentally, and especially if we went to the same confessor regularly, it gives us less chance to excuse our sins. Because sometimes if we shop around and go to different confessors, we think, oh, I'll say the same sin to this guy and then this one next month and this one next month and maybe get different kinds of help. But if we go to the same one, then we really have to face ourselves a little bit better. So that's one out of there's five most popular quotes from the Screwtape Letters. Maybe we'll get to some of them today. But for now, let's go to our phones. The number to get on today's show with your question or personal problem, and there are lines open waiting to hear from you, is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. Tammy from New Hampshire, listening on Sirius XM 30. Welcome to the show. Tammy, you're a first-time caller, so go ahead with your question. We just have a couple minutes till the break, so in case you hear music starting playing, we'll still continue after the break if we're not done. So go ahead with your question, Tammy. Welcome to Mass Appeal.
Good morning. I listen to you often on Saturday morning on Sirius XM, Channel 130, and I'm calling in question with a situation that has been an ongoing problem in my life with, just family dysfunctions and problems. And so in 1980, I had a beautiful little girl, and 1982, another child, daughter, and when 2001, I had a brutal divorce. It was not a pleasant one. And the children have sided with the ex-husband.
Mm.
And in the turmoil of 2001 to 2020, I've heard that my sister's trying to control the situations and why, I'm calling to see where my prayers, I've been to confession, I have a very good parish, I'm very active with the healing ministries, and
oh, good.
And I've attended those with the Unbound, and many of the other programs, and I have spent so much time in prayer and asking the Lord, please help me to understand
mm-hmm.
why the family has to be so separated, and I'm really, really concerned with why the children are not able to contact me for their birthdays, or I haven't attended either one of their weddings.
Oh, my. So you have had no contact with either of your children?
My youngest child, I don't believe I have had maybe 30 minutes in the last 21 years.
Oh, my goodness. What a heartache.
My oldest one, she has come into my life a couple of times, but I feel she's come in for more destruction.
Mm.
So I feel that I've worked very hard to recoup from my marriage. I was left with absolutely nothing to start with. The job was gone. My home was separated. The upbringing. So I have tried and tried so many times to get together with the kids.
Oh, my goodness. And it's not working. Okay, Tammy, hang on. We are going to finish this after the break. So, Tammy, my heart goes out to you. I'll pray for you during the break. We'll be back with the rest of Mass Appeal right after this message.
If you believe in the power of prayer, Ave Maria Radio invites you to look at their website to submit a prayer request at AveMariaRadio.net. Your prayer requests are shared with hundreds at the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, the Servants of God's Love, the Monastery of the Blessed Sacrament Cloistered Nuns, the Family of Faith Apostolate, and the staff of Ave Maria Radio. Just go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the Community tab to submit your prayer request today.
Fire on the Earth's Peter Herbeck.
And we do have discouraging times, times that really can, if we're not careful, can lead us into discouragement. And to the point where the enemy wants to get us to is to live without hope, is to just give up, throw up our arms and say, no, God's not here. This is not never going to go anywhere. Nothing's ever going to change. And just give in. Give up and give in. That's what he wants you to do. He wants you to give up, give in, quit the fight, because then it's over. what we need to do is stand in the Lord, and if we just walk as Jesus is describing, to tap into the strength that he wants to give us. He said, look, I'm with you always to the end of the age. I will never leave you. I'll never abandon you. I'll never fail you. And I've called you and I've chosen you to bear fruit. And he knows exactly the circumstances of our lives. He knew, you know, when you were made, he knew, for God the Father knew, that you'd be living through these days. Just as he knew that my father would live through the days of my mother, the days of the Second World War. He knows you were going to be alive at this time. And if you're listening to this program, and you're baptized into Christ, and you're a follower of Jesus, he's made you to make a difference. He's made you to bear fruit, even in these difficult times. He's made you to be a light. He's made you to be different.
Peter Herbeck spreads fire on the earth, weekday mornings at 6:30, and again at 11:45 on 990 Ave Maria Radio.
With Tammy here on Mast Appeal. This is Colleen Kelly Mast. The show is called Mast Appeal. You're listening to Catholic Radio. And this is a show where you can get some free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective live on Saturday mornings. All you got to do is call this toll-free number, 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK is the number to get on today's Mast Appeal. We look forward to your calls. Melissa will take your call, take your name, where you're calling from, and that's the title or topic of what you want to talk about. But right now, we're just struggling with Tammy from New Hampshire. Her heart's aching. She's crying. I cried with you over the break, Tammy. She's estranged from her children after a horrible divorce, and even any contact with them has not been good. So, and I'm glad that you have gotten some help through Healing Ministry and Unbound, Tammy. So my heart goes out to you. So do you have a new life, or did you remarry? Do you have any other children? Or are you just dealing with what you have right now?
I am working to the best of the abilities that I was left with in life. I am trying to rebuild. I have a stable home now. This is something that the children never experienced because we were constantly moving. Mm-hmm. But I've been secured in my home in the past 20 years. Mm-hmm. I moved out of the first one and after 10 years because they were remodeling. Mm-hmm. So I've been secured in this apartment now for 7 years. Mm-hmm. And I was just, you know, praying that the children could call and see, you know, how I was, or I want to know how they are, really. Mm-hmm. I want to know why that they have to be so distant, because mm-hmm. growing up without my mom and the family was very difficult. Mm-hmm. And I never thought that my children would have to be without their mother. Yeah. And I just feel that time has just wasted by, and I really haven't been able to, you know, enjoy any of their times in their mm-hmm. adult life.
Yeah.
And, I have a granddaughter from my oldest daughter.
Oh boy. Mm-hmm.
I was able to bond with for the first 7 years of her life.
Oh, my goodness.
And I feel that that's been good. Ripped out from me. I just feel that my prayers, I say the rosary, I go to, you know, different groups that are in the area for healing ministries and different, mm-hmm. So we have a, before the virus came through, we had a very active parish as far as the healing right. ministries and healing mass once a month, and November would be the generational healing, and so there was so many different events that I was right. able to attend.
Well, it sounds like you're doing a good job to find the healing that is available in the church. So your emotions are heavily tied to this. So the next thing mm-hmm. you probably need to ask for is these emotional healing, and then we need to do some repairing. When you understand how your brain works, how your heart works, how your memory works, which are all parts of our being, it can help us in that healing process. So if you've gone to Unbound and asked God to release that, and you've gone through the prayer services and asked Him to heal those, that is absolutely wonderful. But then there are some steps you can take. And one is to painfully accept the reality of the situation. When we have such a horrible, painful experiences like you have, we try to think of Jesus on the cross, who was abandoned by the 12 friends that he did form and train. Those were his 12 apostles. He felt abandoned by his father, who sent him down here. He was falsely accused, and he's hanging there on the cross out of love. He wanted to do that. He willfully hung on the cross for our sins. And so this gives you an opportunity to unite your suffering to his. But not in a way that you have to suffer. Jesus already suffered for you. So here are a couple tips on how to help your brain and your heart and your memory so that you don't continue that agony. Because the devil wants you to continue to be agonize over this. But with the healing that you've received through Unbound, through the prayer healing ministry, you don't have to. So one is just a point of understanding the brain science that we learned in high school and college, changing the terrain in your brain. When those memories come up, what do we think? Do you think agony? Do you experience agony? Do you revisit that agony? When you think about your kids, or do you think, Lord, you've healed me of this. Give me hope. Give me hope that one day we will be restored in the way that you will, O Lord. And then release those trapped emotions that are in your heart. When you think of it, do you, like, you almost want to clutch your heart or your gut because it hurts you again. Instead, release that. Give that back to our Sacred Heart, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Sacred Heart, and give that to Him and say, Lord, finish healing my heart so that I can do good out of love for you. And take this pain, as we see all the little spikes in his heart from the crown of thorns, and give that to him. And then reframe the memories with thanksgiving. So when you think, Lord, this has been such a painful experience, I thank you for the opportunities that you've given me for healing. And then you begin to reframe in your brain terrain those memories as they come up upon you. And then you change the thoughts and say, devil, flee from me, just like Jesus did. I'm uniting my suffering to our Lord, who has already suffered for this. And then you want to do good. Right now, you're still struggling with those unrealistic expectations. You expect that they are to pay attention to you. The reality is, yes, you're missing out. Yes, we have to grieve over this. But the reality is, it's time for you to take some emotional distance from this situation and do some good, whether it's in your workplace, whether it's with volunteer work, whether it's with other children, whether it's being that grandma to somebody else in the neighborhood, whether it's baking things and bringing them to neighbors who can't get out. And so when you think of each day, you get up and think, what good can I spread into the world and what good can I do? And that will begin to repair that terrain in your brain, the emotions that are trapped in there, the memories that are trapped in there, and do good. And then you give this whole thing over to God. Say, Lord, if it be your will, I sure would like if I can reconcile with this family. But for now, I thank you for the healing that you've given me, and I ask you to continue to give me the strength to do good. And then you don't keep dwelling on that, because that's what the devil wants you to do, is keep dwelling on that. And when you give it to our Lord, he will heal it in his time. And that grace, just like radar, or just like a satellite, that grace is going to, you know, flow upon you, heal your heart, and then the grace will flow to them, and maybe somebody else is going to approach them, or maybe God the Holy Spirit will work in their minds and say, contact your mom. Like, you don't know what God can do with it, but while you're carrying it, it's hurting you, Tammy. When you give it to God, it fully can heal. And then
this
you can,
what our priestess mentioned, was the serenity prayer. And
okay.
I do try to reach out for the elderly. I'm familiar with several homebound people that are just unable to get out.
Good.
So, you know, I went over and just visited with one last night. She was having some other house problems, and just being there to help her, you could feel that it was a relief. But again, when my sister calls and tells me all her daughter and this and their family, you know, uniting, and I just wonder where my children are, and you know, on their birthdays, I get up and I wonder what kind of a day they're having, or Mother's Day.
And all of those, Mother's Day must be a heartache. So all those thoughts, don't let the devil take a hold of them. Don't let the devil take a hold of our grief. And you give these to our Lord. Say, Lord, I put this in your hands. I place this in your hands because I know that you love them even more than I do. So give this over to our Lord and continue to take those steps of doing good. May God bless you and heal you, Tammy.
Light of the East, weekends on Ave Maria Radio.
I'm Father Thomas Loya. This week on Ave Maria, among the many gifts of both lungs of the Church, East and West, we here at Light of the East have our 10 favorite gifts that the Eastern Church has offered to the whole Church and to the whole world.
Saturday evenings at 8:30 and Sunday mornings at 9 on 990 WDEO, Ave Maria Radio.
This week on Christ is the Answer, we continue Father John Ricardo's RCIA for Catholics series. Prayer is a big part of how we connect with God. We can find hope, comfort, courage, peace, and many other things through our humble conversations with Him. Father John continues this week the topic of prayer and the growth of spiritual maturity as he takes us deeper into our communion with the Lord. Tune in for Christ is the Answer, Monday through Fridays at 11 a.m. on Ave Maria Radio.
How do we recognize the voice of our conscience? The Catholic Catechism says that in order to discern exactly what our conscience is telling us about a contemplated action, every person must be sufficiently present to himself in order to hear and follow his conscience. St. Augustine says, "Return to your conscience, question it, turn inward, brethren, and in everything you do, see God as your witness." Conscience empowers us to assume responsibility for an act committed. Man has the right to act in conscience and in freedom so as to personally make moral decisions, asserts the Catechism. Man must not be forced to act contrary to his conscience, nor must he be prevented from acting according to conscience dictates, particularly in religious matters. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
You're listening to Ave Maria Radio.
Ave Maria Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Mass Appeal, the Saturday morning live show on Catholic Radio, where you can get some free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. The number to get on today's show with your question or personal problem is 877-573-7825, 877-5-CUP-TALK. You can also email me at mastappeal@avemariaradio.net or contact me through my website, sexrespect.com. Michael called back. Great, Michael. Glad to hear from you. See, we can finish off that question. Michael from Atlanta, who got disconnected earlier, called back. So welcome back to the show, Michael. How can I help you now? Let's finish up the question. You had a follow-up question about justice and the faith, stuff like that. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call again. So this is off topic now.
Okay.
But it was, you know, like an hour ago. But so something I struggle with all the time is the difference between defense and, you know, forgiveness and leaving justice to God. So, you know, with everything going on in 2020 and your churches, my friend's church in Tampa was just, you know, the sanctuary was set on fire, and then, you know, I'm a member of the Knights of Columbus, and we're very in tune with, you know, what's going on, and especially West Africa and the Middle East with the numbers of Catholics and other Christians just being, you know, really just eradicated. And, I struggle with at what point do we actually need to start focusing on, you know, defending fellow Christians and defending our churches, you know, because I come from a different church background. I converted to Catholicism from being a Baptist and an evangelical. And, I would frame it as we had kind of a more, critics might call like a muscular Christianity, where, we believe that, God will strengthen us and mm-hmm. God will give us fortitude, but we have mm-hmm. to do the work.
Exactly.
Whether that's in social justice or whether that's actually defending the faith from evil.
Right. So Catholics believe that too, that we are, that God blesses with his grace our actions. So we don't just give up on justice and leave it solely to God. We have the four cardinal virtues you've probably read about in the Catechism: prudence, justice, fortitude, and temperament, mm-hmm. temperance. And we need to work at those. So it's our duty to work for justice in any way that is possible in the life situation we're in or the world situation that we're in. It's our duty to work for justice in the way God calls us to do so. So mm-hmm. when we do work for justice, and he does bless our efforts with his grace. He isn't just going to zap down like a magician and fix everything
right,
for us because we pray. So he expects us to do our part. Does that help?
Yeah, no, that does, because I get mixed messages sometimes, and maybe I'm just misreading when I hear people who do, I think, sound like, we just have to pray and God will give us victory in the end. And I kind of want to say, God will give us the strength to get victory, but we have to do it.
You're right. We do have to do it. He wants us to act. And this is back even at St. Paul, faith without works is dead. We have to act and do our part to make the world a more virtuous place, including justice. So glad you called back to clear that up, Michael. God bless you.
Thanks for the call.
Bye-bye. Okay, our next caller is Sarah from Melbourne, Florida, one of my favorite stations. I love going down there. Obviously didn't go this year, but listening on Divine Mercy Radio in Melbourne. Welcome to the show, Sarah. How can I help you today?
Hi. First of all, thanks for having me. And
You're welcome.
Me just start off by saying that I have a wonderful husband who loves me and our girls so much, and he's always striving for holiness. So that is a blessing.
Oh, that is.
With that, Halloween is coming, and our three-year-old, she's a very sharp little girl, and ever since probably last year, as she noticed, seasons changing and decorations coming mm-hmm. up, my husband was teaching her that, skeletons and witches and that kind of stuff, like those are yucky and not great, and, mm-hmm. basically it comes from a place of him not wanting her to be familiar and, like, comfortable with that kind of stuff,
mm-hmm.
which I totally understand. I don't want her to either.
Mm-hmm.
But now she's older, and it's becoming, it's almost more of, like, an attention thing, and I feel like there's this unhealthy connection developing, and as we're approaching Halloween and, preschool is doing fun stuff with it, and I have fond memories of my childhood, like dressing up and trick-or-treating. I never was too, familiarized with the yucky parts, if you will.
Mm-hmm. And how old is she now, Sarah?
She's three.
Okay, she's still three. Okay. You said she's older now, so I'm like, how much older?
Right. Oh, yeah, sorry.
All right.
Not much older. She seems older.
So at 3, 4, and 5, they're still just listening to whatever you say, pretty much, and understanding it at a very little level. They're not grown-ups in a small person's body. And so when they're small, we do everything we can to protect our children from evil, which is what you've done, even ugliness. We want them to see what God shows us: truth, beauty, and goodness. And so when she's three, she can start making decisions. As you know, when she was two, she started making decisions on her own of what she wanted. So, her brain's working. And so she can make some decisions between that's ugly or that's pretty. That's yucky, that's beautiful. And the beautiful things are of God. If she sees a beautiful pumpkin and a cornucopia, just say, that's beautiful, that's a beautiful gift from God. If she sees a jack-o'-lantern with worms coming out of its mouth and ugliness, just say, yeah, that's ugly. So you can help her look at both of those things without being afraid of them and acknowledge good or evil, ugly or beauty. And then as she grows, the old, add to that with the next questions. Yeah, we don't want to wear those costumes that scare people because that's glorifying the dead, because as Catholics we want to respect the dead and we pray for them on All Souls Day. So you add to that, but the first step is just that helping her decide in her little mind what's good, what's bad, what's beautiful, what's ugly, stay away from what's bad and gross, and move toward what's good and beautiful and help create more beauty. You think that would help her at this little age, Sarah?
Yes, I do.
Okay. All right. You're welcome. God bless you. Thanks for the call.
You
bye-bye. Okay. Yep. Little kids can discern. They can discern things like that. So teach them when they're young, and then they'll be learning by the time they're 10, 12, and 13. What is the difference between good and evil when we're looking at Halloween? Give us a call with your question or personal problem, 877-573-7825. We'll be back with more of Mass Appeal right after this message.
Hi, this is Vanessa Denha-Garmo. Please tune in for my program, Epiphany. We're made to praise God and to celebrate our faith. I want to encourage listeners to connect, collaborate, and communicate with the faith community. Life is a journey, and along the way, we have those epiphany moments that bring us closer to Christ. Please partner with me and celebrate the diversity of our Catholic Church.
Epiphany, weekdays at noon on Ave Maria Radio.
This is Father Frank Pavone of Priests for Life. Today, the Church observes the Feast of the Guardian Angels and reflects on the fact that from the very first moment of our existence, God assigns an angel to watch over us at every moment of our lives. Of course, this means that each unborn child has a guardian angel, too. If God cares enough about each unborn child to create that child and then assign him or her an angel, then certainly he expects us also to exercise some care and vigilance to speak up for and protect the lives of those children. It also means that we can pray to the guardian angel of each unborn child we are trying to save, as well as to the angels of the mother and father of that child, that they will have the courage to choose life. This is Father Frank Pavone on Ave Maria Radio.
Ever thought you'd make a bundle by trading in or selling your used vehicle only to find out it's worth a dinner for two? Well, it's much more valuable to donate your vehicle to Ave Maria Radio. Thousands of Americans donate their vehicle each year. The donation to Ave Maria is easy, tax-deductible, and supports our efforts to evangelize. A year from now, will you remember that dinner or your gracious and selfless donation? Go to AveMariaRadio.net to find out more. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
Welcome to Mass Appeal, the Saturday morning live show on Catholic Radio, where you can get some free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. I'm not going to give out the phone number. We've got lots of people on the line, and we're at the last segment, so call back next week at 877-5-PEP-TALK. We'll get to as many calls as we can here in the last segment. This is Colleen Kelly Mass. You can learn more about my work at my website, sexrespect.com, and I promise after the show today I will update my Facebook fan page, Colleen Kelly Mass, with one L in Colleen, with some of the guests and interviews we've had this last month. You can go there or go check out my new website at sexrespect.com. And now for Thomas, listening on the EWTN app. Isn't it great to have apps? I have the EWTN app, the Ave Maria Radio app. You can listen to the show either way. So thanks, Thomas from Tennessee, for listening on the EWTN app. It's your turn now. You're on the air. What's your question, Thomas?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
You know, cradle Catholic, I think it's like accepting God's mercy completely. Like, I personally have struggled with, you know, thinking like disrespectful or blasphemous thoughts towards God and just kind of calling him, you know, something that's not true. Like, I know in my heart of hearts he's holy and perfect, but some days it's like, even after confession, like, I'll feel like this guilt or this almost like some kind of weird urges to think something bad. And it's like, God, I don't mean that, but there's like an extreme feeling of guilt. And I was just like, if you can give me some advice to like just trust in His mercy to know, like, you know, there is no unforgivable sin. That, I mean, because I struggled with that reading that in the Bible. I was like, is there really something we thought or said that was like, you know, crossed the line? But it's just, I'm just curious your advice on that.
Okay. Yeah, we didn't make up God's mercy. That's not within our human realm. So we know that it is true, because it's not even that human to be merciful. And so it's difficult for us to even understand and fathom the beauty of God's mercy. Pope John Paul II wrote an encyclical about the mercy of God. And he starts with the story of the prodigal son. It might be good to read that encyclical on the mercy of God that he wrote. You can get it free on the Vatican website, vatican.va, and take segment by segment and listen to God speak to your heart about His own mercy, beginning with that story of the prodigal son. And when we receive a thought like that, remember that thoughts themselves are not sins. A bad thought is an invitation to sin. And it might be an invitation from an old memory. It might be an invitation from the evil one who knows where your weak point is. Or in either case, it could be something you can dismiss easily. So the thought itself isn't a sin as long as you dismiss it. When that thought comes, then have a small prayer that you say that dismisses that thought, like, praise be to you, Lord Jesus Christ, in your greatness and your mercy and love. And have a little prayer that you just say each time those thoughts come to your mind, so that you can dismiss them in a way that, in case that was from the devil, you know that is out of there. Because the devil is the one that wants to discourage us and wants to get us mad at God. So in your head, you say you know this. You know of God's goodness and greatness, that pondering His mercy would help you. Another idea is to meditate on God's love for you and His greatness. In the Catechism, it goes through all the different qualities of God. Maybe say the Apostles' Creed. You know, each day with your regular prayer, say the Apostles' Creed and state all these qualities of God that we talk about. Look in the Catechism about the qualities of God. He is all good, all knowing, and all loving. He is perfect, and yet He loves each and every one of us. He loves you, Thomas, as if there was no one else on earth. And so meditating on God's love for you, besides the mercy, maybe do mercy one time a day and the love for you another time a day, and just let Him love you. Ask Him to fill your heart and your mind both with His goodness and His love. And then look at what kind of entertainment that you're using. Are the things that you use to entertain yourself true, beautiful, and good? Is it good old classic movies and music, or are you in the contemporary entertainment, which is, in a way, ugly? Are you getting out in nature enough? You're in Tennessee. It's still a little bit warm there. You know, so think of how you are filling your mind with God's goodness, with His beauty, with His truth, whether it's, you know, through any of your senses, what you see, what you hear, what you taste, what you smell, what you view, how you entertain yourself. So dismiss the thoughts, meditate on God's mercy, meditate on His love, and then add more truth, beauty, and goodness to your life, and get out any junk. And that can clarify and purify your mind. Because I think what you really want is that pure mind. You know in your head that God is good and beautiful and merciful and gracious, but we want to purify the human parts of our brain and mind so that we can receive all that goodness and truth and beauty. Okay, Thomas?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Let's fill our lives not with the ugliness of the news, and not with what's going on in the culture, and not with the entertainment they're trying to present to that. A lot of that is ugliness. But how do we fill our lives with beautiful music, church music, classical music, relaxation music, beauty of God's nature, looking at the mountains and the trees, the fall harvest? Think of all the good acts that we can do. So fill your lives with goodness and truth and beauty. So it looks like we won't have time to take Maria or Chuck. If you guys can call back next week, that would be great. We'll try to help you with your problems. In the meantime, you can contact me through my website at sexrespect.com, or you can email me at mastappeal@avemariaradio.net, or take advantage of my life coaching opportunities. You can learn more about those on my website as well. So let us be what God wants us to be and be Christ to others, and we can change the world. God bless you.
Mass Appeal is produced by Ave Maria Radio and broadcast through the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Copies can be purchased or free downloads can be found at the Ave Maria website, AveMariaRadio.net. If you have a comment or question for Colleen, write to Colleen at AveMariaRadio.net or Mass Appeal at AveMariaRadio.net. And listen for Mass Appeal Saturday mornings from 9 to 11 Eastern Time for free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective.